This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. Hour three, G-Bag Nation 105.3. The Fan. Hope everybody is having a terrific day. We're 2.5 hours from Rangers pregame. They're back after it tonight hosting the A's. And it's time now for a sports hodgepodge with Eric Chiafalo. Top 10 with Woolchucks coming up in 20. Here's the Chief.
All right, did UConn and the powers that be decide to listen to Brian Broaddus and his suggestion to keep that campus from getting destroyed, vandalized, and taken advantage of in the name of championship celebration? So it was certainly not a mean-spirited thing, but last year they were, they tore that place
they
up.
They still tore it up.
Tore it up.
They still tore it up over nothing. Over nothing. Over, pay attention.
Just to win. I don't know. Let's get some conspiracies going here. But first, I just want to play some sound of Dan Hurley 4 years ago, UConn head basketball coach, calling his shot.
You know, people better get us now. That's all. You better get us now. Because it's coming.
He said the price about to come up.
Yeah. It's coming for all of you.
This is your forewarning. Since then, they've gone 115-34 overall, 12-2 in the NCAA tournament. They're on a 12-game heater, as a matter of fact, and they've won two natties. So he's definitely on to something here. It doesn't look like Kentucky's going to be able to money whip him, and I don't know if that's because just him or because of his wife. He was kind of pointing the finger last night. I don't think wifey wants anything to do with Kentucky. Okay. She likes the pizza up there in Connecticut.
I mean, you're like a 40-minute drive from New York City. You know, it's tough. It's tough to, justify.
To bail on that.
You know, leaving that part of the country for Kentucky, where they're going to be obsessed about basketball, and if you don't win, you're the worst person ever. You know, that's a tough sell for wifey.
You got it pretty good there at UConn. You might as well just stay and go for a three-peat, coach.
Lucius, we got 6 arrests, broken window, and that highlights the UConn National Championship celebration back on campus.
It's not too bad.
It took it easy.
It's a scaled-down version of what it was from last year, but still, I mean, 6 people arrested on campus for celebrating the back-to-back championship victories. Vandalism on campus included light posts being torn down, street signs ripped up, and a broken window. Which, again, the box score last year, they stuffed it much more because the campus was caught off guard. Last year, after they beat San Diego State, they reported campus damages north of $125,000, 30 arrests. Yeah. So they've scaled it down here, and we know that they were locking down the lampposts earlier last week in lead up to the Final Four.
They learned.
In preparation for this, and that certainly saved them some windows, some arrests, and some financial damages there, but still not enough to just keep this place 100% clean and void of anything arrest-worthy.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely a chaotic scene to get 6 arrests and some broken property, but nothing like the full-scale riot of last year.
I've never seen that before. College campus, just tearing it up, never really seen it. They didn't do what you suggested, Broaddus, which is just fool them with the old trickeration move of, there's free food here. Yeah. Focus on that.
Yeah.
I do still believe that would have led to the world's largest and maybe most violent food fight of all time.
Have you seen the Preakness? When they get rowdy at the Preakness.
Yeah, the infield.
They have beer fights, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
They're throwing cans of beer at each other, and they're standing on top of the porta potties. Yeah. And it looks like Lord of the Flies out there because there's just no shirts on. It's just shorts, and they're just throwing beers at each other.
Beer
bro.
Grenades, dude?
This is a horse racing event.
That's alcohol abuse, too.
What the hell? Yeah, don't it waste is. The beer
yeah,
like
don't
that.
Don't waste the beer like that.
Wow, dude. Okay, this is not something I was familiar with.
Oh, it's greatness.
They call it the toilet run? These guys are running on top of porta-johns?
Yeah. And people are throwing beers at them.
And people are inside them using the facilities, getting knocked around. Yeah. Wow, dude. Yeah. These look like NASCAR fans. These don't look like horse racing fans.
It's crazy, the Preakness,
They got to know not to be
sitting there. They throw the beers at him, bro. Look at that. That's a gauntlet you got to run.
Thousands of beers. He's just being pegged, and then he falls. By the end, he falls. At least one hit him in the dome. That is crazy, dude.
Now it's a bit.
Reminds me of 4th of July 2010. I commandeered a kid's bike. And I was riding down the cul-de-sac in front of the parents and inviting them to shoot bottle rockets and Roman candles at me.
Come on,
bet
guys.
You can't hit me.
That's your best shot. You better get him now because it's coming. It's coming.
Oh, that's right.
Gosh, dude. So this is all happening in the infield.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Lucius, you just this has been educational for me. This is crazy, dude.
Yeah, Baltimore.
Makes sense.
That's where it is.
That's where it is.
Baltimore.
All right. Well, geez, man. That's very entertaining. When's the next Preakness?
They all kind of come. They come. Yeah. The first.
It's a spring
first
sport.
First weekend in May is the Derby, and then they go after that. Preakness, the Derby, then the Preakness, and Belmont is last. So it's all within like probably a 2.5 month period.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I'm looking forward to it now more than ever. That's crazy.
Make a road trip. We should do it.
That should be a fun little video bet payoff.
Yeah, get some
somebody's
got to
run through the beer gauntlet or the Port-a-John run or whatever. Yeah. That seems crazy, dude. Yeah. Okay, I have some baseball sound for you. Walchuk actually sent this to me over the weekend. We have
2:08 in the morning.
This wasn't one of his 2:08 in the morning extravaganzas, but. I believe the sun was up at the time, but it was something, I don't know, it was, you know, anytime there's like a fat shaming situation, he always wants to try and, you know, send it my way and make me feel bad or whatever, but usually it just lights a fire under
rightly
me.
Rightly so,
and here's Ozzie Guillen talking, just going inside baseball
this
here.
Is good.
He's a gift.
You cannot pull fat.
You seem like in the same way, you know what I mean, like.
Running the bases.
Everything is about legs. I don't know. Yeah. Like I always say, John Kroc say, fat, never pull.
You can't pull fat.
Nope. All those eat right, be careful what you eat, no cheeseburger. Here's the print. Nah, man. I remember those guys go here drinking 12 Budweiser, give me 3 hamburgers and go get it, boys.
Didn't go on the injured list.
And they play all year long.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's very confusing.
Damn right, Ozzy.
How many Budweisers with that?
I think he got 12.
6.
12. Stole 24 pack.
18.
Put them down, Ozzy.
Was that 3 cheeseburgers?
6, 7.
2, 6, 7 is what. It's a lot of beers.
A lot of beers.
2, 6, 7.
12. Such a treasure.
Sir, how many beers have you had tonight?
2, 6, 7.
You step out the car, please.
No.
And he's totally right. I mean, you can't pull fat. It is interesting. Like Giancarlo Stanton is the guy that I point to, who is just a physical specimen. He is exactly what you imagine these Greek gods to look like, just built physically perfect. And he's always on the IL. Just every time you turn
Smith
around,
always there's hurt. Giancarlo.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe there's too much muscle.
Long live the fat athlete.
Spend your time, I think, stretching instead of strengthening. But you know how some of these dudes get, you know, they're addicted to the aesthetic of it, Chief. You know about this.
Oh, dude, 100%.
They love the
striving
way that,
for greatness every day.
You know, I could tell.
With all those chips you see me eating.
Maybe they're healthy chips.
What an oxymoron
you're trying.
But when you're in your prime and you're out there, you know, that can be addicting, like the fitness level that you're putting out there, what you see in the mirror, how ladies are reacting to you.
Yeah.
You're playing in New York. You're in the hottest clubs at night, dude. And I don't think that's in the best interest of your playing career.
Yeah.
You know, you should be spending an equal amount of time like strengthening for function and stretching. And if you're trying to look like a freaking model, then you're basically the biggest douchebag in baseball, I think.
Yeah, the vanity might not be good for you here.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're going to be hurt. I mean, that's what it is. You're pulling hammies left and right.
Mahomes, I mean, even Brady, who took care of himself. It's not like he was a muscle man. Yeah. You know, like he was all about just like foam rolling and stretching and staying limber and whatnot.
Supple.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I don't
Mike
know.
Trout, injury prone.
Thank you.
Think Wyatt, we need to start eating some more cheeseburgers, buddy.
Do we need to fatten up Wyatt Langford?
Just a little bit.
Well, but then there's the LeBrons, you know, whereas you're just muscled as you can be. And
you know LeBron's stretching.
It's entirely possible to be built in a way that doesn't break down. But once you figure that out, you got to take all measures to mitigate that.
How funny are these people? The eclipse was definitely, I think we would all agree, cooler than what we had anticipated.
Yeah.
But the people that were really hyping this thing up, I didn't know there was an opportunity, but apparently We all had the opportunity to pay anywhere from $750 to $1,200 for a one-way ticket where you can, via Delta Airline, be assured the best view of the eclipse. And this started back in February when Delta announced it had scheduled a flight between Austin and Detroit that it said was timed to give those on board the best chance of safely viewing the solar eclipse at its peak. And so you had tons of people, multiple airplanes worth of people wanted to get involved in this. And apparently the view was non-existent.
Oh, no.
So you pay a ton of money. You are clearly hyped up about this more so than anybody because you're getting in an airplane to view it as close as possible.
What went wrong? I saw some people out of a plane had a good view.
Yeah. And I think you probably ultimately come down to it. Yes, like this isn't a special airplane where it's like, all glass where you can see through. I mean, think about being, you're in the window seat and sometimes you're trying to see something, but you can't. You only have like 6 inches worth of window and whatever's there is there. And so I guess these people didn't consider that. It wasn't like there was a specialized plane that was just gonna be like open air or whatever, so everybody gets the full 360 view of the situation. So there was probably a like handful of people on each plane that were lucky enough to have the view, but for the most part you had people realizing, like Hannah Simpson talking to the Washington Post, maybe a plane isn't the best viewing spot for an eclipse. Or another one saying a glimpse of totality proved elusive for many of the people who had reserved a spot on a flight that promised special maneuvers to get everyone a peek. So I guess that's the other thing is you're expecting the guys in the cockpit to figure out a way to angle it.
Yeah, like turn the plane upside down like Denzel Washington like in that movie. Plane?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, what are we doing?
Business Insider also spoke with someone who was on the flight that departed from Dallas who admitted, I really don't think anybody on the plane actually caught the eclipse in full totality.
No way. I would definitely want my money back. You're probably not getting it, but
no.
Honestly, these people don't deserve their money.
No, they don't. You're 100% they don't. I think it's honestly hilarious.
It is. You're right.
I mean, at least they weren't on a Boeing that ended up having to land, or their wing fell off, or the door.
The door came off. They might have had a better shot at.
Yeah, maybe they.
Or Wonder Woman's plane, maybe.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Wonder Woman. That's right.
Invisible.
Yep. Yeah.
Apparently, it'll be 2033 that is...
Oh, Wonder Woman, that's a good one.
Alaska will get an opportunity at the eclipse in 2033, but Texas won't be in the path of totality for a total solar eclipse again until August 12th of 2045, but that path will include just a small part of the panhandle. So I don't think like we will be privied to, in 2045, another opportunity to reach totality with our bros.
That was pretty dang cool, man. And I'm happy to know that I think we got the best spot possible just hanging out.
It was amazing.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything special. Just go outside and look.
It was perfect. We could see it right from the studio. Very lucky.
Anything else before we go, Chief?
I just wanted to appreciate the 817.
How dark it was, right?
Very dark.
The toilet run, he's calling it the port-a-jauntlet.
You run over the top of the
while people are heaving beer grenades at you. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
It's insane, dude. And this isn't like 4 or 5 Port-a-Johns that you run across.
No,
this is like 30 of them.
This is all of them.
All of them.
Yeah. People are just muddy and it's crazy.
Is that mud?
Lord of the Flies, bro.
Yeah, it's Lucius is right, man. Especially it rains like pre-rate. People, it's crazy out there.
It gets real primitive.
It does get very primitive, yeah.
Yeah, that to me is more insane than what Bills fans are doing. Like that could end it for you.
Yeah.
You take
there's a lot of injuries
off the dome, knocks you out, you fall off the porta potty. That's an 8-foot fall. That could be it. That could be curtains. At any time.
I guess I need to know who's in the crowd launching beers. You know, what type of accuracy levels are we dealing with here?
Yeah, I know.
The mafia.
I
dodge
it. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have a lot of velocity on it. You'd probably survive it, but I'm not missing.
So it's Lamar Jackson. If he's in the crowd, you're not getting hit. You're okay.
If I see Nolan Ryan, I'm stepping down real quick.
There's a good opportunity for you to take out your guy Drake May one more time.
Yeah, Drake May. If Drake May's in the crowd as a guest, you're safe going across the border.
No, you're not. You'll get one that's pinpoint accurate, and then another one will completely miss.
So are you guys saying that you'd rather do the Bills Mafia payoff where you jump on a table of fire off of a Winnebago as opposed to doing the Port-a-John Gauntlet where you're getting pegged with beers?
Yes.
Okay.
But the table has to be cracked, right? Then the table have to be pre-cracked a little bit.
I don't know if there's a pre-cracking.
It's got to be like a breakaway table. I don't want to just land on it.
Yeah, it's a post-crack.
If you land on a normal solid table, you're going to get really hurt.
Yeah, that's a broken rib at
least.
You're
really hurt.
We need a perfect table for crashing through. And then, yes, I'm on that deal.
Yeah, but this isn't, we're not talking about like the fake wrestling stuff. We're talking about legit Bills Mafia people doing it for real.
Yeah, whatever jump through, I'll jump through it.
Yeah, I don't think they're pre-cracking those things.
I think they're
pre-cracking. I think it's just one solid post-crack.
There's a Bills fan I know that listens to us. Bill, text in. Let me know.
Are those pre-cracked tables, Bill?
Pre-cracked tables.
Your standard input.
This ain't Monday Night Raw, bro. This is the real stuff.
No. I think it's pre-cracked.
By the way, seeing some highlights to the WrestleMania with everything.
Did they suck you in?
Dude, I'm like, that's pretty killer.
It is, dude.
Yeah, they did a great job on this one.
It was.
Hell of a TV show.
Get it up.
Only 5%.
Come on, Dwayne.
Rock, get up! Get up.
Man, that hurt him to see Rock like
that. Bro. It did.
Yeah. He was destroyed.
Tore him up.
We got bases coming up at 4:40. A top 10 next. Well, Chuck, where are you taking us?
Man, we've had a lot of conversation. Who is the best college basketball player of all time, men's and women's? We got that top 10 next here in the nation.
Shoot, yeah, boy. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Time now for the top 10 here at 4:20. Segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. It is a Rangers game day. Pregame's coming up at 6:30. They'll host the A's. Here's Wolchuk with your top 10.
Thank you very much. We will get to our top 10 college basketball players of all time. This is men's and women's, the most recent list that I could find that combines both. 877-881-1053. Who do you think is the best college basketball player of all time? It's pretty crazy, though. We've got the WNBA. Teams are already, they're selling out for Caitlin Clark when she comes to their
arenas. Is she
Indiana? So she's technically not drafted yet. We've got the WNBA draft that's coming up next week.
But that's Indiana.
Indiana Fever has the number one pick. They're expected to draft her.
She's probably more likely to go number one than Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I mean, it's guaranteed. Both are going to happen. But yeah, Caitlin Clark's odds are probably even worse than Caleb's are. I agree 100%. But it's funny because you had Diana Taurasi, who of course was on ESPN with SVP, said, what would Caitlin Clark have to expect? She said there's going to be a learning curve here. Like, everybody has this when you jump from college to pros, when you're playing against 18-year-olds, you can expect, they're going to have something for you.
Well, don't tell that to John Heyman, who thinks that she could step in and be an NBA All-Star right now.
Well, the Phoenix Mercury put out there on the Twitterverse, this moment has become a movement. Whether you've been here for a decade or a day, your chance to witness greatness is here. Single game tickets against the Indiana Fever are officially on sale now. The GOAT. Diana Taurasi versus the Rook, Caitlin Clark, June 30th in Phoenix. So she's already being used as a marketer here when it comes to the WNBA ticket market. I think it's great. I mean, you should. We just had first time ever, the Women's National Championship game drew more viewers than the men's. 18.9 million for Iowa, South Carolina. The men's game last night, 14.8 million. Between Purdue and UConn.
I think she'll be great for ratings if she can be fantastic. Which is going to be significantly more difficult at this level. But I think her shooting, passing, dribbling ability should allow her to be one of the top 10 scorers or so in the WNBA. If she can be the absolute top scorer and do it by a significant margin, then I could see her becoming a must-go-see player. But, I mean, the great thing about the WNBA for the people that have been watching it is there are so many former amazing college players out there on any given night. So it's not like she's going to raise the overall quality of play in a way that demands you watch.
Yeah.
It's just, can the Steph Curry of the WNBA put up 30 points a game or something and, demand the attention of SportsCenter and stuff? As long as she's just like kind of fitting in with the rest of the stars, I don't think it's going to be a big enough story to change their trajectory. What we're seeing is unique to college women's basketball the way that men's college basketball was more successful in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, we'll see when she comes to Dallas, at UTA. I wonder, I assume that would be a sellout whenever she comes to play the wing. So we'll see the impact that she has in the WNBA. I hope that it is a successful transition for her because it'd be great for the women's game. Shout out to Dez, by the way. He bet big on UConn, and he cashed in big. He placed a $50,000 bet on the Huskies covering that 6.5-point spread. And, of course, our guy cashed in on it. So shout out to you, Dez Bryant, who really, we might need to get Dez on like some of these gambling shows. I mean, he had that 13-leg parlay that he hit in February. Dez knows, man. Dez does know.
It'd be fun to pick his brain about like his approach, you know. Like, what are you looking for? How are you putting together cards? You
is
know,
just
what,
gut
what's the Dez strategy? What's the Dez system? You know, let's throw up the X together.
Dezalytics.
Yeah.
Or Xalytics.
Desbians for life. All right, let's get to our top 10. Top 10 best college basketball players of all time. There are a lot of great players that did translate their game from not only college to the pros, and that will be featured on the list. This is men's and women's. We've had the 469, Diana Taurasi, Maya Moore, Lisa Leslie, Cheryl Miller, Carmelo, Jay Williams, 817, can't forget about Brittany Griner, Pistol Pete from the 903, 817, Hakeem Olajuwon, Larry Johnson, Cheryl Swoops, a lot of good ones. Let's go around the horn, start with you, Lucius.
Well, I was having a conversation with my aunt.
Yeah.
We were watching the games. This is the one that does not like Kim Mulkey, even though she's coming around.
Oh, she is?
She's coming around. I see it. She doesn't want to admit it, but I see it. She mentioned Lynette Woodward. Lynette Woodard. She was telling me that these ladies got more points than anybody up there, and they were hooping with a men's ball.
Whoa.
There was no three-point line. Pearl Moore was another name she mentioned. Pearl Moore.
Okay.
So, you know, Google them things up.
Yeah.
Lynette Woodard and Pearl Moore. But I like Allen Iverson.
AI.
Georgetown, I was watching that a lot.
I was locked in.
Yeah,
they had my Saturdays locked.
Yeah,
Lynette Woodard is the she was the record holder for points before Caitlin Clark just broke the record. And yeah, she's like, hey, this is not apples to apples because, as Lucius mentioned, and I didn't realize this, but they were when she was playing, they were playing with the men's size ball, and I guess the 3-point line or whatever. No 3-point line.
So it's like
not being able to hit the three ball obviously makes it more difficult to rack up the points. So. She must have been. Gosh, I don't know. Was she a big? Like, was she a front court player?
Just crushing it down low.
6 feet tall. I guess not. But
we got some love for JJ Redick from the 214. Cheryl Miller's getting a lot of love on the text.
Oh, Cheryl would have been amazing with the injuries, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, she is amazing. Don't get it twisted.
Anybody say Brianna Stewart from UConn?
Brianna Stewart has not been texted. Brianna Stewart actually was one of the ones when she was interviewed about like, can Caitlin Clark be considered the GOAT? Said no. Like, she can be one of the best to play, but I don't think you can be considered the GOAT without having won a national championship. Like, that's
what? She won four.
Isn't that the worst?
You can't do that.
Yeah.
She was four-time, from what I remember.
I mean, those are UConn women's teams.
Yeah, you joined a gauntlet. You joined a dynasty, and you won a championship.
She was the
best good
player,
for you.
Though.
No, I mean, yeah, absolutely. That I mean, good for her, but.
Yeah, she didn't lose many games.
But she also did not have.
No, because the program didn't for forever.
Yeah, she was playing with a much better team than Caitlin was.
Yeah. Well, she was.
By a mile.
She's a four-time national champ.
Yes, and she was the best player on said team. So, and she's a, you know, USA Olympic player. Oh, Jameer Nelson got texted in from our buddy Will Chambers.
Great player.
Definitely. Kemba.
He and Delonte West, by the way, were the backcourt.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. Yeah, those St. Joe's teams were fun. Christian Laettner, Bill Walton.
Bill Walton might be number one. Bill Walton was good.
Joakim
Noah at Florida. I do remember those squads, man.
Lou Alcindor was really good.
Rebecca Lobo, Sabrina Ionescu.
Elvin Hayes was really good. Houston Cougars.
Yeah, Elijah Wan. Jimmer Fredette was a fun one. Adam Morrison. With the mustache.
Oh, yeah. He was a
Wally Zerbiak, if you're throwing those guys
Wally.
In there.
Miami of Ohio,
yeah.
Yeah, it was a good run.
Honorable mentions, we've got Kemba, Anthony Davis, Diana Taurasi, Patrick Ewing.
Oh, yeah, Ewing.
Shaq was a problem, bro.
Shaq.
Yeah, kept breaking the rims. It was all over Sports Illustrated.
We do have Breonna Stewart. She comes in at number 14.
There we go.
Michael Jordan.
Whoa, we forgot about him.
Team player there with Dean Smith.
Yes, that's why he's not in the top 10, but he's at 13. Jerry West is at 12.
West Virginia.
Elvin Hayes, Houston.
The Big E from Houston.
Yeah. At number 11, just on the outside looking in.
Just crustaceans here. We're going back into the 70s
for sure. What are you talking about, crustaceans?
Well, they stayed in school the whole 4 years for the most part. up until Magic.
As they should.
Yeah.
Damn right. Oh, yeah. Steph was great.
Never transfer.
Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose was awesome. That Memphis squad. That Mario Chalmers hitting that game winner. That's one we'll always remember. Number 10, Magic Johnson, Michigan State.
Yeah, 17-6 didn't really stuff the stat sheet, but if I got to take any player from the history of college basketball to try to win a championship with,
Magic.
I'm taking 18-year-old Magic Johnson.
9, just ahead of him, is Larry Bird. Of course, the two of them changed the NBA, and maybe we can get that. Maybe we can get a Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese-like deal here in the WNBA. I mean, we've got these female stars that people know, their personalities. Maybe this can help. Number 8 is Jerry Lucas, Ohio State.
Ohio State, yeah.
24.17 boards is what he averaged. NCAA champion, 3 times went to the tourney and was a 3-time all-tourney player. 7, David Thompson, NC State.
NC State.
Very underrated Wolfpack. Dominant scorer.
Yep. My goodness.
Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, before ABA. There was MJ, there was David Thompson, NC State
my man
legend.
Can jump.
Who the GOAT modeled his game after.
Yeah.
Incredible. Number 6 is Oscar Robertson.
From Cincinnati?
Cincinnati.
Big O.
Hard to argue that. 33.8 points per game, 15 rebounds, was all-turning twice, 3-time consensus All-American. Crazy.
Prada seems to have some LeBron hubris before. About being able to identify the university attached to these individual players. Look how excited he gets every time he gets it right.
You see what Charles Barkley did the other day? On a clip, they asked him to all his teammates that he's on television with.
Yeah.
He had to say what college they were from.
Couldn't
he
nail it?
He named every one of them.
Oh, really?
One of them right. Even like Robbie Hubble
sounds right.
Robbie Hubble. And they go.
The new anchor guy?
They go, Robbie Hubble. He goes, Purdue. Like he knew who all these.
Don't test me. I know my college knowledge.
Usually Chuck's not. You're thinking.
No, who he play for.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's not guessing these guys.
That's badass.
Yeah.
Yes, Greg Oden was a fantastic college player.
Ohio
he was
State,
hurt half
right?
the year.
Ohio yeah. State, right?
At Ohio State, he was a badass, though. He was. But, yeah, he's. I know that's hard.
Yeah, I think he took him to the Final Four. Did they make it to the championship game against Florida?
Stop being bitter there, Portland, man.
I think they lost to Florida in the championship game.
Greg Oden broke his right wrist, so he figured out how to make free throws at 70% with his left hand. That's how talented dude was.
Him and Conley, weren't they both on the squad together? It's a good squad.
Yeah.
Number 5 is Bill Walton.
UCLA.
Should be number 1, I think.
Good pull there,
Big Red.
All right, here we go. 4, Bill Russell.
Bill Russell with the school at San Francisco.
San Francisco. Nice job, 20 Ryan. And 20. Bill Russell out here averaging 20 and 20 in college.
That's the San Francisco Dons. I think that's what they're called.
Who do you think you are?
You stared at their black and white Sports Illustrated covers for a decade and a half, Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're
singed into your memories.
Well, I just think it's very impressive that you can name like the top 10 greatest basketball players in college basketball history. You can identify the school they went to.
That is
really amazing.
But I can't do anything else.
No.
I could remember the Matrix name. You can hang your hat on this.
Yeah, okay. All right, here we go. Top 3 greatest college basketball players of all time. Number 3, Caitlin Clark.
Iowa.
Oh, wow. Feels a little knee-jerk.
She's moved up to
the number 3?
AP Player of the Year. 2-time runner-up. 28.7 boards, 8 assists.
Jeez, I'd say that's a little bit recent.
Her accolades, though.
What have you done for me lately, Broadus?
Number 2, Pistol Pete Maravich.
Go Tigers.
All-time scorer, right?
Recently passed by Caitlin Clark, who's at number three.
Yeah.
Well, if Shaq was doing this list, he'd have Angel Reese ahead of Pistol.
Yeah, he would. Number 1, though, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Lou Alcindor.
Special.
Lou Alcindor.
Yeah.
That was his name when he was playing at UCLA.
Was
it really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he did.
Lou Alcindor.
Went by Lou Alcindor when he was in college.
Played
was so
John
sought
Wooden.
After that the NBA and ABA began a bidding war on him to get him to their league.
Gale Goodridge. Man, they had some players.
Of course, he was capped. But yeah, what an absolute badass from 66 to 69. That is your greatest college basketball
player of all
time. Man,
that might have been the best list you've done ever.
That was fantastic.
For you?
Kenyon Martin at Cincinnati amazing, broke his leg. Len Bias, of course.
Len Bias, Maryland.
I mean, there's a lot of great ones. Okafor at UConn.
Tyler Hansborough. You know, he's a little
North
overrated.
North Carolina.
Yep. Did I miss Tim Duncan? Asked the 903.
Wake Forest.
Yeah, Tim Duncan did not make it.
Carmelo Anthony.
Syracuse.
Just 1 year.
Might be why, because a lot of these players were 4 years starters. Carmelo was amazing.
You picked. Who did you pick for your guy to win it if you had to pick a guy? Who did you just pick?
Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson?
Yeah.
Carmelo Anthony might be in that
Carmelo
list.
Carmelo was incredible.
Freshman, yeah. Freshman at Syracuse.
I mean, the run that Kemba went on with UConn also stands out to me. It's just wow. But yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of great ones.
Thank you, Wooly Bully. Okay, let's stay with Zach because it's time now here on your home of the Rangers for a proper round tripper. We'll talk some baseball next.
Yes, we will. We've got some new information on the Rangers' injuries. Let's hear from their head doctor on some of the reasons he thinks we've had more pitching injuries. That's next on The Fan.
Yeah, thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan going all the way till 6:30 tonight when we'll hand it off to Rangers pregame. We got to get some hoop in here, though. Or, I mean, some more baseball in here, though. And here's Zach Wolchuk with that proper round tripper.
Thank you very much. A shout out to Davis Wenzel, who's going to be making his major league debut tonight. Of course, Waco Zone. He's going to be playing third base, batting seventh for the Rangers. Now, Corey Seager is having a scheduled day off, according to Bruce Bochy. There's no issues. Regular early season maintenance. So it'll be Semien, of course, leading off, still at second. Josh Smith. Going to play shortstop, batting second. Langford at left field in the three-hole. Dolis Garcia DHing and cleanup. Jonah Heim at catcher after he got the night off last night. Duran going to play first base, so no Jared Walsh. Wenzel, Carter, Tavares will be the lineup with Nathan Eovaldi on the bump against the lefty Alex Wood, who's pitching for the Oakland A's tonight. The other update is Max Scherzer threw a bullpen today. Said he will throw live batting practice next week as he moves forward in his rehab as he gets back from surgery. So that's good news. But some bad news for Irving's own Trevor Story. Trevor Story from the Boston Red Sox, he's going to be out for the season. That is a bummer for Trevor. He signed a massive contract for them a couple of years ago, and he hits really, really well at Globe Life Field. I know there's some Ranger fans that were asking about at the time, like, hey, what do you think about bringing Trevor Story home? Well, he's going to have season-ending shoulder surgery. So he's already
missed. Take a dive into the ground?
It was,
yes. Go after a ball or something like that?
It's a fracture in the shoulder, and they're going to have to repair it. He's 31 years old. He's going to be sidelined now for 6 months as he's recovering from that. But he's only played 94 games after he went ahead and signed that six-year, $140 million contract with the Red Sox. So this is certainly a bummer. Story, and I know we got a lot of his family in the Metroplex, and he's a fun player to watch. He's just not good for the game. But another pitcher injury today, as Nats pitcher Josiah Gray has been placed on the IL with elbow forearm issues. So we continue every day. There seems to be a new story with a pitcher injury, and Foul Territory actually had the Rangers doctor, who everybody seeks a second opinion from him. It's Dr. Keith Meister. He talked about his thoughts.
The Keith Meister.
Yeah, the Keith Meister. He talked about some of his thoughts and the recent just doubling of the pitching injuries.
I guess I have spoken a lot more about it than any time in the past. I feel like this is a health issue, and this is the population of patients that I take care of. And so if I can offer some valuable advice potentially at least keep the conversation going in the right direction, then maybe we can do some good here, because you're right. I mean, the numbers are absolutely astronomical. They're through the roof. We're probably double what we were at any time at this time of the year before. I did about 230 elbow ligaments last year. I've done 70 just in the first quarter alone this year. The month of April, I'll probably do 40 plus. And the preponderance of this is on the pro side, but we're seeing the same kind of spike on the college and the high school side. And I think that we've known for years that this increase in velocity, which has trended up, has resulted in this, you know, this set of consequences. But I think there's a broader picture than this. I think what I like to call the designer pitches, I think has had a significant impact, equally as well. And I think that those of us that are seeing a lot of this stuff with great frequency are seeing these patterns over and over and over again now, to the point at which I can tell you that I can look at an MRI scan almost and tell you that this pattern of injury is something that we're seeing with particular pitches. So we can almost look at an MRI and the type of tear and say, oh, this guy's throwing this kind of pitch. And so I think it's something that we need to take a broader look at. And And again, I think a lot of this is multifactorial, no question, but there's no question velocity and spin for me are two very, very significant additive risk factors here.
It's crazy.
It is. And I think as, you know, as players, you know, I've been thinking about this all day, you know, in some ways I'm like, man, I hope I'm getting all the information and the risk that I'm putting myself under with these pitches. But even if I knew, it's still worth the risk. You know, it's not spinal. It's not concussions. I'm blowing my elbow out. But in order to get hitters out, I have to try to throw above 97. And I have to have movement and spin rate that is elite to give myself a best chance. Some teams aren't even going to look at me. Like, I got to be in the minors and dominating and trick bleeping guys to get them out for years if I'm going to get a shot without velocity and spin rate.
Yeah. Well, and so a lot of the pitchers are talking about it now. Chris Bassitt, who has been a former Oakland A, was an all-star there, now at the Mets. He was talking yesterday about the recent slew of pitcher injuries and why he thinks some factors have contributed to that.
Do you think that too many front offices have a short-term view on pitching and not enough concern about player health?
MLB started a very, very, very big issue, decided that 97 was way, way, way more valuable than 91. You started a problem where I would see a guy throwing 90 miles an hour, say out of the bullpen, and he would have a 3.7 ERA. And then you'd have a guy throwing 98 out of the bullpen, and he would have a 4.7 ERA. The next year comes around, the guy throwing 90 was a non-roster invite, and the guy throwing 97 was invited back. So you set the precedent that stuff meant more than stats. Of course, injuries are going to happen at an alarming rate because you have a natural human body that's not made to say throw 95, 96, 97. They're made to throw 91, 92, and that's okay. I just think we have to get back, and I think we have to start setting the precedent in MLB where we care about pitching rather than throwing.
The velocity, the spin rate, it goes back to also, you know, what Tyler Glass now, 2 years ago, that's circled back. But yeah, I mean, the 972, the new baseball clock is causing some of the injuries. That maybe that has a factor into it. It seems like it's more so, though, the specialty pitches, how hard they're asking these guys to throw, the amount they're asking them to throw.
Yeah,
but it's something that MLB is definitely going to have to look into.
Because they know, Wolchuk, that without the velocity and spin rate, your results are not sustainable. You're Martin Perez. You're having a great season.
Sure.
Here's 1 year. Here's a 1 year contract. Can you do it again? Didn't think so. I mean, the GMs are kind of right here. Baseball is kind of right. And as long as it makes sense for all parties involved, I think this is just the new reality of it. You know, you got to hope your horse lasts 8 years before he blows out instead of three. And you hope that after the Keith Meister does his surgery, he can maybe go the rest of his career.
Maybe. I mean, shout out to Martin. He was awesome today. 7 Ks, 1 run on 6 hits, 8 innings pitched, and some day baseball there in a victory for the Pirates. So Martin figuring it out here early on. But Cody Bradford's another guy.
Yeah.
Like we were just talking about him, doesn't throw in the high heat when it comes to his fastball. He's finding ways to have to maneuver around that. So it's interesting, and I know this is a conversation that's going to go on really throughout the year as we continue to have these pitching injuries. Final note, Ranger fans, your voices were heard. The Rangers are playing back Pat Green's I Like Texas after wins, not the new version that they recorded in the offseason.
Okay.
The old one.
I love it. Now, Wolchuk, I wanted to get your thoughts on a text in here before we go. I know we're late. 817, no spider tack, having to grip the ball harder. I think if that bears out scientifically, they need to bring the tack back.
Agreed. Yeah. Absolutely, because that was a big point that Glasnow was making. Like he's having to just have a harder grip, really choke down on the ball, and then the next day you've got muscles that you didn't even know you had with how sore you were, and that's something that he has to quit cold turkey. He didn't have that issue back when he was using just rosin and sunscreen.
That's what happened to me, believe it or not, when I gave myself carpal tunnel and repetitive stress injury from my fingers up to my shoulder from online poker. Blew out both arms, actually, from over grabbing the mouse in big hands. Over hours and hours and clicking that damn thing. You know, there's no way I've been able to play baseball that entire summer. Had to switch to softball, as a matter of fact.
what an epic injury. God,
dude, dang. It was incredible. I got
mouse.
Have I told you about the foot mouse that I got? I used that for a couple of months. I started to get knee tendinitis.
No way.
Your poker addiction.
I tried voice dictation software. I did, dude.
Hey, at least you were pulling out all the stops, you know?
God was trying to tell you to stop so many damn times. You was not listening. God is like, come on, fam.
Dude, perseverance, man.
My roommates used to make fun of me because I'd be in the other room, like, yelling into the computer, click all in, click all in. And, yeah, that didn't last too long, especially when my voice would start to get slurred. Gosh.
You were hammered in there and they couldn't understand you anymore.
Why doesn't understand me? We got to run, Nation. 5 o'clock hour coming up next. An edition of The Finest, Chief. Where are we going?
Football's Finest. A new NFL record has been set. The GOAT is still goating, and a brand new locker room strategy is making its way into our favorite sport. That's next here in The Nation.